Robert Tanich is a theatre critic and also a writer of many theatre books. He's a biographer. He also seems to be a serial publisher collector because, judging by a quick look that I had, for not many more than a dozen books, he's been through a dozen publishers. The latest one is House, and they have published his book on theatre in London during the last century. This is a magnum opus. It's an incredible work. Goodness knows how much effort he's put in, he will tell us. Robert, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Hi.
Right, I've got to say, I saw the book, I love the book, it weighs a ton, it weighs 3.5 pounds, and my first question is, what on earth possessed you to get into this? You must be mad.
It's very interesting because House approached my agent and said, have you got any authors who might like to write a short book on Shakespeare? And my agent said, yes, I've got somebody. And I said to my agent, that's the last person I want to write on, for goodness sake, 7,000 people have written on Shakespeare, and I do it very badly. And she said, well, you will go and see them, won't you? And I said, oh, yes, I'll go and see them, all right. And I went along, and they said, I understand you want to do, are willing to do a book on Shakespeare. And I said, no, I'm not, actually. And they again said, why not? And I said, because everybody else has done one, and I wouldn't do it very well. But I have got another idea, and it's called The London Stage in the 20th Century. Century, and it's a chronicle year by year. And the manager of the house said to me immediately, I've never done a book like this, but I want to do it. And she said immediately, so that's how the book is being done. Why I wanted to do it is very simple. I've been going to the theatre since I was a lad. I've kept my programmes. I've always kept notes on what I've seen. And, of course, since I became a critic, I've kept even more detailed notes. And people have always said, you know, what are you going to do with all these notes, Robert? And I hadn't really thought initially what I was going to do with them. But that led me to start doing some books on our favourite actors, at least our favourite great actors. And once I'd done those actors, which I really wanted to do, I wonder what was next.
Just quickly, I think the least you can do is tell us some of the actors that you've written books about, because it's a weird and wonderful mix from the great to, well, possibly the great in other ways.
I did a book on Ralph Richardson for his 80th birthday, and that was very popular and liked. And, of course, having done it, I then wanted to do a better book on the next actors, and I did a book on Olivier, Gielgud, Ashcroft and Guinness. That, you know, really enjoyed doing that. And then having done those great actors, I thought, well, for a moment I thought that was it. And then I suddenly thought, no, there are one or two other people I'd like to do some, you know, some of the great actors in cinema, like, of course, Clint Eastwood and Marlon Brando. I was also rung up to do a book on Leonard Rossiter, and I said, he's just died, you know, yesterday. And they said, yes, that's why I'm ringing you. And I said, don't you think this is moving a bit quickly? I'll have to talk to his widow. And they said, well, yes, we'd like you to get the book out as soon as possible. So I said, they said, do you want to do it? And I said, yes, you know, I'm a great admirer of his work. And so I had to do that book very, very quickly. And I wrote
how quickly.
I can't remember how quickly. It was like it was certainly weeks rather than months. And I thought, how can I do this quickly? I must see some of his films. I must see some of his TV. And I suddenly thought, right, I'll write to 100 people who've worked with Leonard Rossiter and said I was doing this tribute to him. Would they care to make any comments at all, however short, however long? And I'd be delighted to include it in my book. And 100 people replied, which was very nice.
Okay, right, let's take ourselves back to London Theatre in the 20th century. Yes, you've got notes, but presumably not from the whole of the 20th century.
Thank you very much, Philip. I'm not that old. Obviously I drew on what I knew, and then, of course, I had to go to the Theatre Museum. And not only did I go to the Theatre Museum, but I go down to Westminster Central Reference Library, just off Leicester Square, who have a very good selection. And, of course, the first thing to do, since the book is called London Stage in the 20th Century, was to find out what was on in each year. And obviously, I had to make a selection, otherwise the book would be even bigger than it is. And so I would go down the list and I would find names, obviously famous names, immediately had to be considered. Famous plays had to be considered, famous productions, and premieres, and popular shows, which I'd never heard of, possibly, like a musical, because if you had a musical that had run for 2 years, it ought to go in the book, regardless. And then I would look up at the Theatre Museum reviews of the thing. So my book not only contains my commentary, but it also contains comments by the critics of the day. And sometimes this is great pleasure, because, like all critics, we get it hopelessly wrong sometimes.
You also have a knack of finding critics who disagree over plays, which is rather fun.
Oh, well, yes, thank you, Philip. That's, of course, the idea is, yes, sometimes I deliberately choose a critic who disagrees with my comment, and sometimes choose two critics who disagree, especially when it's at two extremes. And I think this makes the books rather entertaining.
What percentage of plays that opened in London or the West End do you reckon you have in?
Philip, I have no idea. I have no idea in the number. No, I can't answer that question.
Have you got most of them, or did you sort of find yourself having to exclude vast numbers?
The bulk of all the important plays. I do hope I've not missed anything important. The real problem was with trivia, where in fact I didn't recognise the name of the play, didn't recognise the name of the musical, didn't recognise any names in the cast. But I was careful not to make a judgment on that and looked immediately at how many performances it had done. Of course, if it had only run for 2 weeks or something, then of course I left it out. But again, of course, some plays which are very famous today only had two performances. Yeah. And actually, they're included because they're, your premiere. I can't off the top of my head say, which
plays. Well, some of the Theatre Club plays must have done.
Theatre Club plays begin like this. And the Royal Court, for example. Mm. Everybody thinks the Royal Court, began in the 1950s. Mm. Of course, it began in the Edwardian era with Harley, Granville Barker and Shaw and everybody else and all those plays. One thing I'm hoping that my book will do is alert people to lots of plays that we have ignored.
Yes. How long did it take you to write?
It took me 2 years. 2 years research, 2 years writing, and of course once I'd finished it, then checking and double-checking, and so it is actually over 2 years, but by the time I finished, it's probably 2.5 years.
Did you ever reach the stage of wondering whether it was a good idea?
No, I thought it was a good idea. I didn't realise, I think, the enormity of it, and the absolute enormity of it. I thought it was going to be a bit easier than I found. And very interestingly, my publisher, Barbara, said originally to me, well, right, shall we say 200, around the 200-page mark? And I said, OK, because that was my first meeting. And I went away and I said to her, rang a few days later, and I said, I can do it in 200, but it'll be a very small book, it'll be very trivial. I think I'd like a few more pages if you can spare them. And she said, oh, yes, of course. Would you like another 30? So I said, well, that's absolutely fine. And then I started working on it, and I had to ring her up and say, I think I need more than 30. And she very rashly and very kindly said, Robert, you do the book you want, and we'll see what happens. And I said, well, of course, that won't be ridiculous, but the book is over 300 pages.
Well, the other thing that they decided to do, or you decided to do, was to source some fascinating photographic material. So it is a large-scale coffee table picture book, in addition to being a work of research.
Yes, I always do the photographic research in my books. I always insist that I should do it, mainly because I've certainly, with the shows that I've seen, I know what photograph I'm looking for. It doesn't always, happen to be there, but if it is, and obviously, I use the publisher's sources, but I go along and choose, the photographs. So I think I can safely say there's no photograph in the book I don't want, and most of them I've chosen myself.
There are some really great photos, and also they've done you the big favour that with this gigantic format and double page spreads, just for example, the Waiting for Godot photo from 1955 with the original cast is just tremendous, and one sort of almost wants to tear it out of the book and stick it on a wall.
Yes, I mean, that's the pleasure. I said to the publishers, lots of double page spreads, please. And I think if you're going to pay for photographs, which you have to pay for, what's the point in having sort of little tiny photographs in a book? So let's have them as big as we can. I immediately knew when I started the book that you'd have to be double column because there were going to be so many entries. It's been great fun doing it. And, I'm now thrilled that it's out. And one or two people have already seen it and they seem to like it. So that's good.
It's tremendous. And I think for the Christmas market, it ought to be a real boon because it's got several different sort of sets of people who might be after, but just for the coffee table market, it is a wonderful gift to receive.
Well, that's very nice of you, Philippius. I hope people may well buy it as a Christmas present, and it is a coffee table size book, but it's also a very useful reference book. Initially, I hadn't intended it to be this side, nor the publisher, but they got carried away. We all got carried away, and it looks. I think it looks good, and certainly. It's allowed me to cover a great deal, which I would not have been able to do otherwise.
One thing I wanted to ask you was, as I was looking through it, I did a search in the index as well, and I couldn't find a reference to a young playwright from the 1960s who had various plays that appeared. Very distinguished, I mean, West End plays, one directed by Trevor Nunn, another that featured Hermione Gingold. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
How clever of you, Philip. I, of course, deliberately left them out because I really thought that would be the ultimate conceit to put my own play in the thing. Because, especially as I was being selective, obviously if I'd put every single play in, I would have added mine naturally in passing. But I just thought, well, look, if I'm making a selection in the 1950s, 1960s, come on, you know, leave yourself out, you know. But in fact, I had my first play on when I was still up at Oxford as an undergraduate. And it was a one-act play, and somebody came along from Coventry, the Belgrade Theatre, to see it and said, oh, I like your one-act play. Do you think you could write another play for me? Or could you write another three one-act plays to go with it? And I said, yes. Naturally, I said yes. And I came down from Oxford and said to my parents, I've got a commission to write a play. Can you look after me till I finish writing the play? And the moment I wrote the play, I sent it up to Belgrade, who accepted it immediately, but naturally it was a wait. And so thought, my God, I must get a job. And thought, what can I do? And so I went on supply as a teacher.
And tell us what the name of the play was and a little bit about it, maybe?
The play was called A Prior Engagement, and it was set in the Edwardian era, which an idea of comedy in that period, and the idea then was to do a series of little one-act plays, so I did a comedy on Victorian age, the 20s, and the modern age, to make it one whole. And then later, of course, I wrote another play and was looking for a leading lady, because it was a very big role, and management took out an option in a year, and as far as he was concerned, could not find the right actress who would fill the theatre and so on, and then took an option for another year and still couldn't find the actress. And at that point, I said to my agent, it's no good him taking out a third. I will never get this play on. And I said, what about Hermione Gingold? And I'd never seen Hermione Gingold, which was a name, a legendary name in England, gone to America. And so I said, what a good idea. And so we sent it to Hermione Gingold. And she replied within 10 days with a producer from America, who ironically went straight to the producer I had been talking to for 2 years, who then said, oh, well, if you've got a money, Gingold, we'll do it. So that's how that came about.
And yet they didn't make it into the book.
No.
Robert, what else have you got planned for after this? Because having done the 14 or whatever it is biographies, you've written plays, are you at the stage where you've got another book lined up? Do you want to write more plays? Do you want to try and persuade Sam Walters or somebody to revive the plays? Because probably they're getting to the stage where we might do.
Well, I'd love somebody to revive my plays. Of course I would. It's very strange because I think that I am not a modern, in inverted commas, writer. I write high comedy, and high comedy is not something which is appreciated or much liked, I think, or as popular. However, it would be great if that could be done. Yes, I'd very much like to have a play done. The question about the next book is always, I'm very, very superstitious, and I never, in fact, tell anybody, even my closest friends, what I'm doing or even what I'm thinking about. So I'm liable to say, oh, by the way, I've got a book coming published next week. Would you like to come to a party to celebrate it? And certain people, get a bit annoyed with me and think that, but I've got used to not asking, or at least saying, are you doing anything? And I usually say, yes, I am, but don't say. Well, Philip, to answer your question, yes, last week an idea has come into my head, and, you know, because you always think the last book is the last, and, yeah, I've got an idea which I'm very excited about, and I'm not going to tell you anything about it, because if I tell you, I'm going to lose it. I mean, I don't mean you'll take it or anything, yes. But just when one starts sharing ideas, you know, one loses it.
And have you got a publisher for that yet, or...?
I think I may have, you know, well, I've just got to make sure that I know exactly what I'm going to do before I go to the publisher.
And is that going to be publisher number 13?
No, Philip, it'll be number 17.
17?
Oh, publishers, sorry. Yeah. No, sorry. Well, no, yeah, I haven't worked out how number. my publishers, if one may make a joke, they either go out of business or... and, you know, they think, oh, God, here comes Tanich, you know, careful. But, no, I've been very, very lucky with my publishers. Very, very, you know, and good relationship with them. And it is difficult because publishers, as you know, are going through a very, very difficult time. And a book like I've just done, I'm very grateful to House for doing it. I didn't know House, of course, at that point. And if I'd gone to somebody else, I know they would have said, Robert, this is an enormous book. It's going to cost a lot of money. And you want it illustrated. Well, that would be very nice. And they, you know, start saying no immediately. And so I'm very, very lucky to have House doing it. But books are expensive to do, and especially if, you know, you're doing the sort of book I want to do, and theatre books, of course, do not enter the bestseller list, and so, you know, you just have to hope that the book will, you know, meet its costs and things.
It occurred to me as I was about to say this that House have really done you proud, but that's too much like a pun for comfort. really, the production qualities are amazing, the quality of the paper, the quality of the photography, and just generally, it's a gorgeous book. I think, you know, if anyone had a problem with it, it would be the physical lifting it off the table. But you can turn it over on a table, which isn't a problem.
Thank you, Philip. Yes, the House certainly, the moment they saw what sort of book it was, they said the paper would have to, you know, they decided on the paper immediately. And that, of course, costs a lot of money. I was very interested that nowadays books are not necessarily published in England because of the cost, and so publishers go abroad, and I was told they had tried Singapore, China and Dubai had given them the best offer, and so I'm amazed to hear that it's cheaper these days to publish in Dubai and send your books back by boat, because clearly you can't send them by plane. And the book is coming by boat, well, sorry, has arrived in England by boat. I still think it's on the seas going to America at the moment. But it is, you know, it does tell us how difficult it is to get books published.
Indeed, and well, congratulations on getting this one published. I'm sure it will give many of our listeners a lot of pleasure. Robert Tanich, thank you very much for your time.